antidote to the establishment's lies. Welcome to the War Room. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
Donald Trump is the middle finger manifested in human form. And I think that the individuals who support him, you know, they might support him for other reasons as well. But I do think that one of the dominant reasons is that it's giving a middle finger to our political establishment, to our institutions. And a lot of Americans feel like those institutions and the political establishment has let them down, whether we're talking about the Democratic establishment or the Republican establishment.
Bingo! That's Anna Kasparian on the Young Turks. Yeah, she gets it. All right, I got so much yet to cover. I don't know if we're going to have time for your phone calls today. I still have so much to cover. So many video clips, so many news. So let me just start digging into this stuff. Let's give a little bit of an example of what she's talking about. This was an MSNBC segment last night, and I was watching this. It was very interesting. And, I mean, there's not much integrity or sanity left on MSNBC. Alex Wagner might be the last potential case of it. And she's talking to people about where they stand right now with 2 weeks left of the election. She talked to some black voters about the recent Obama demanding you vote Democrat, how they felt about it in clip six.
And I just wonder for anybody who heard that, like what they thought of that.
I was deeply offended. I was deeply offended. And it felt like a moment where it's like, you N-words better get in line and do what we say. And it felt like him as the czar of the Democratic Party coming down to say, go get these N-words in line. And the general tone of it was disgusting. It was abhorrent. I don't respect it. I didn't like nothing about it. And Kamala, 2 days after that, is like, we love our black men. We have programs and things that we're rolling out for them. And she rolled out policy.
Good cop, bad cop. You know, because
I'm tired of the good cop, bad cop. I'm tired of it.
By the way, there's all sorts of stuff like this out there. We got another one coming up, but let's stick to the MSNBC clips here. Same segment last night with Alex Wagner talking to voters in Philadelphia clip.
What are your feelings? And let me start with the women here about Kamala Harris.
She's a woman of color. I'm not putting her down because of that. And I'm not putting her down because she's a woman. I'm not a feminist, so I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, I don't think that she has the personality. I don't think that she has what it takes to go up against Putin and go up against these other presidents that are built for this. I don't want to be scared because my president is scared. I want my president to feel secure and manly and about it.
We brought up gender, right? Like, do you think it matters that she's a woman and people aren't comfortable having a woman in a top leadership role?
No, I don't think that, because most men, they love their mothers. They love their wives. So as a woman, most men, they respect the woman, but she just don't have the qualification or the education to really run America. Ooh. Because she don't have the experience. She don't understand our struggles. Mm. And for me to believe you for another 4 years, you're crazy.
Right.
Like, you're crazy. You're saying the same thing that you said 4 years ago.
So the fact that she's the vice president,
that's
to you,
the bottom line.
You're like, you've been here, you've had a chance.
Yes. Well, for me, the very first time I ever heard the name Kamala Harris, it was in association to locking up parents for a truancy. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I ever heard of her name. And I really didn't understand how this person claims to be a black woman, but yet she's locking up black women and black men and separating families.
This is a thing that is, Trump talks about this a lot. He says, you know, Kamala Harris became black when it was convenient.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me about, do you agree with him on that? Do you feel like she's wearing her blackness?
Absolutely. When she sworn into the Senate, it was as the first Indian American.
Thank you.
It's fine. We don't care. Yeah.
We all know she's not black. Let's understand that. We are all clear of that. But my point of view, like I told you earlier, she's already been there. She's in office right now.
You know what's amazing? One of the glaring contrasts between Republican voters and Democrat voters is, in specifically this case, Trump voters. Notice how informed they are. You see that? Notice how informed they are. How many liberal Democrats do you think know Kamala Harris was sworn in as the first Indian, first Asian American in the Senate as a DA in California? They don't know that. They can't be bothered to look that up. All they know is the propaganda that they get force-fed. Isn't that such a glaring contrast? Trump supporters are actually informed. Republican voters are actually informed. You bring this stuff up to liberal Democrats, they don't even know it exists. Every time. Every time. All right. Now, that's some sanity that MSNBC let on the air last night. Now, this, let's go back to our regularly scheduled insanity, MSNBC feminists here in 26.
Oh. The contrast could not be more stark. Yes, we have a dismal economy, but we are also facing the prospect of fascism. And actually, the economy isn't even that dismal. I mean, like, things are rebounding, but everyone is talking about the economy. But in fact, we are actually facing the real premise and specter of fascism.
I think on the economy, too, all the data suggests that that's not the case. But there's a feels issue with the economy.
The vibes
things
are poor.
Feel expensive. Yeah. People feel bad about it. And even if they don't feel bad about their personal economy, they feel bad or worry about their kids or their neighbors or others. And yes, that is throughout history, Angelo, a ripe climate for an autocrat, which is exactly what Project 2025 ushers in.
I've got 30 clips on my list today. We've gotten through maybe about half. I don't know if anything rivals that. I mean, that is crazy from Nicole Wallace. I don't know who that other bimbo is. Angela something? I don't know. Things just feel more expensive? What? Things feel more expensive, ladies and gentlemen. They feel more expensive. How much does Nicole Wallace make? Guys, see if you can find out. Nicole Wallace probably makes seven figures. For content like that, wow. I mean, that's brilliant stuff. Things feel more expensive. They feel more expensive. You look at your, you look at the price to fill up your gas tank, double what it was 4 years ago. No, it just feels that way. Oh. You go look at your grocery bill. 25, 30% more expensive than it was 5, 6 years ago. No, it just feels that way. You look at your energy costs. 30% more than what they were 6 years ago. No, no. It just feels that way. Yeah. Oh, it certainly does. It certainly does. Yeah, she's worth a couple million, so she probably doesn't make seven figures. She's up there, though. Oh, my gosh. Honestly. I mean, there's times I get a little zany on air. I'll say some stuff. The crew will laugh at me. Can you imagine behind the scenes at MSNBC when Nicole Wallace goes on air and says, things just feel more expensive, but they're not really. Democrats believe this. And they say, this is the kind of environment that creates an autocrat. Yeah, you're right. Morons like you on television making their viewing audience dumber. You're right. That does create a situation for an autocrat. And let me tell you, if Kamala Harris gets in the White House, folks, the pain inflicted on the American people is going to be unbelievable. You think it's bad under Biden. Kamala Harris is a vengeful bitch. It will be pain. She will get into that president and be thinking about how to inflict pain on people. She doesn't even know what she'll do. She's asked, hey, why do you want to be president? She can't answer. Hey, what policies will benefit the people? She can't answer. She just attacks Trump, attacks the opposition. They'll put you in prison, and Nicole Wallace will say, no, it just feels like you're in prison. Yeah, no kidding. All right. By the way, more from Kamala on the campaign trail. Does she sound confident here in clip 11?
And that we are going to, as we all say, turn the page on an era that was about trying to have people point fingers at each other, trying to suggest that there are these issues that divide us when the most fundamental important issues we care about unify us. And so you all are putting that into action every moment of each day. You've been doing this work. We have 13 days to go. And I am so deeply thankful to you. You are having an impact on, for the most part, people that you may never end up meeting. Because your work here will so impact people around the country. Understand that.
You know, Kamala Harris, she lives in the moment. You wish you had the level of chi that she's accomplished. You wish you had it. You can't even imagine how in the moment she is. But it's funny, isn't it? I gotta ask, speaking of being in the moment, what would be more gratifying at this point? The gratification, the satisfaction, the enjoyment of defeating Hillary Clinton in 2016 or beating Kamala Harris in 13 days? What would be more gratifying? To me, it's kind of an in-the-moment thing. To me, the answer is Kamala Harris. But you kind of remove it from the moment, and it's like, how could it be more gratifying than beating Hillary Clinton? Well, I mean, at least with Hillary, she was like a state